Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Talk Live, and it's the live Sunday edition of the program. Joining you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Ian.
And me, Mark.
Coming up here tonight, the Topless event has happened. GoTopless.org. 60 cities worldwide, including New York and our very own Hampton Beach, New Hampshire. On a rainy day in New Hampshire, we will talk about that, and I'll try to find a picture of the event to post up on our Facebook page at some point. So be patient with us on that one. We're actually going to start out with, instead of your calls, we'll get to you and your thoughts, and please be patient. We can still talk to you about anything. But every now and then, Mark, we do have special guests here on Free Talk Live. Sometimes they've been on before, and this one has. Mark, can you introduce our guest
tonight? Yeah, this is Stefan Kinsella. He has, I guess his name has been made sort of in the liberty movement as surrounding the ideas of intellectual property. He's an intellectual property lawyer. But I think in many ways he gets kind of pigeonholed, and he's written on a variety of topics. And
he's an attorney.
He is an attorney, right? He sent me an email last week just kind of clarifying, sending some articles that he'd written, clarifying his position on what law means. And I thought it'd be better if he just came on and explained it to us.
Okay. Stefan, welcome back to Free Talk Live.
Hey, Ian. Thanks a lot.
What motivated you to write the email to Mark? What was it that you heard on the air that was, I guess, inspired your comments?
I heard you guys talking, and you were talking about restitution and punishment and people working off their crimes. But one thing you said was you just kind of had an offhand comment where I know it was informal, you're on the radio, but it was like you equated law with what's written down or what the legislature makes. Which
I would call those statutes, actually. I don't generally call that the law, personally.
Right. Right. Yeah, I figured you kind of misspoke or were just speaking informally, but I just wanted to write and talk about what law is and how one of the great mistakes that is made now, even by libertarians quite often, is we think of law in terms of what has been decreed by some source, right? And nowadays that's the legislature, which is you can call legislation or statutes. So that was kind of one point I wanted to make, how we sort of lose sight of how the very notion of what law is has been corrupted by the state's monopolization of law.
Just what do you call law?
Well, law is just basically a series of what you could call legally enforced rules that govern social, interpersonal social conduct in a given region on the earth. Nowadays, that field has been monopolized by the state provision of law. So law is just, a regular set of interactions governed by some kind of regularly enforced social rules.
So I know that in English common law, that essentially law was enforced without the power of the executive branch, the king, and being involved. Judges would sort of, circle around or whatever. People would hold somebody they felt to be, guilty of some crime or another. The judge would hear the case, and whatever the punishment would be meted out and that sort of thing. And it wasn't exactly a monopoly because you were a judge based on, in many cases, whether people would use you and hire you.
I think there's something to that, although I think libertarians sometimes have a little bit too much of a rosy view of the English common law as being kind of proto-libertarian type of legal system. It is an example of a more decentralized legal system. That is, decentralized courts, and also there were different legal systems. There was the canon law of the church and other, there was equity law, and there was, the regular king's courts. But they were decentralized, and the difference between a decentralized system and a legislative system, which is what dominates today, is that there's usually someone who decides the result between two parties that have an actual dispute, and he tries to come up with a just result. There's no guarantee that he would, but the result is only between those parties and only binds those parties. So anything the judge or the jury says that's outside of the necessary confines of the dispute before them. It's called dicta, just words. So if a judge says, you know, A wins, he gets $10,000 from B because he damaged him. And he said, and by the way, I think that in the future, everyone should have to not discriminate based upon sexual preference. That would just be called obiter dicta. It would be ignored. He can't legislate from the bench. If he did, no other court would follow it. So that limits the power of these individual tribunals.
Interesting. So is that the way things are today? I mean, do judges – because judges give their opinions all the time while sitting up up there. Does it matter now?
They do, and dicta still is a tenet of the law. But the thing is, the role of judges has been changed. The role of judges now is very rarely to try to find the just result in a common law type setting. When they do, the results are usually commonsensical and they're okay. But I would say 90% or 95% or more of what judges do, especially federal judges, is their job is not to find justice in a given case or controversy. Their job is to interpret words written down on a piece of paper, which is the so-called law, which is legislation or a statute. So their job is just to interpret the Constitution or some federal or some state statute. Even if they don't agree with the result, even if the result would be unjust, like copyright or the Constitution itself, they just have to read the words and
they're
try to apply them.
They're functionaries.
They're basically civil functionaries of the administrative state. That's correct.
Now, many times they'll have lawyers sitting up there kind of doing judge work. And
pretty much all judges are attorneys.
Well, they are attorneys, right? But sometimes they'll have people who are practicing also doing judge stuff. Has any of that ever fallen to you?
You mean practicing attorneys being appointed to be a judge?
Not appointed, but so much
are
as
– asking if Stefan has done judge?
Have you ever sat up there?
Only in moot court.
Okay.
At law schools.
I see.
Pretending to be an international law judge.
Sometimes they, you know, the ones that seem to be so more servile will get an opportunity to sit up there and just play judge, and then they have to go back to work after that. It's what I've seen.
Well, I mean, I think the main types of judges are the ones in states which are usually elected, so they have to be politicians, or the ones that are appointed in the federal system, so they have to be somehow part of the establishment, right? They have to be appointed by the president. So they're always servile to a degree, but even the good ones, even if you want to do justice, they just don't have the ability to do it. The thing is, statutes are notoriously vague quite often.
Oh, yeah.
And they're vague because they're not objective, because they're just decrees of a legislature. And quite often, ambiguous terms will be put into legislation on purpose, because that's how a political compromise was reached between the two or three or four different special interests. They just mm-hmm. want to get a bill out there to get credit for it, and they figure we'll just pump this to the courts. They'll figure it out. Like the Americans with Disabilities Act says you have to make reasonable accommodation for people with a disability.
I love that term, reasonable.
No one knows what it means. It's just so it's up to the judges,
right?
And the judges have to make a decision in a given case. And so there is sometimes wiggle room. And when there's wiggle room, then that's when the lawyers, the advocates on both sides, have a leeway or an opening to try to make moral arguments, to try to get this sort of justice-based fairness-type concerns into the judge's minds. But they're just trying to push them or nudge them a little bit.
Too little, too late. I mean, the system is messed up, and a lot of the times these legislators are attorneys as well, and so they're essentially just writing themselves new business.
It's a lawyer industrial complex.
Well, I certainly think that's true, of course. But the problem is not the fact that there are lawyers in politics, or that lawyers are the executives even, or the judges. The problem is the conception of law is emanating from a sovereign or a source, instead of it having a root in some natural, intuitive sense of justice, or the natural law, as we sometimes would call it. So, the very idea of legislation corrupts and perverts the idea of law.
Can you give me some idea of something you'd rather see in its place, sort of from a judicial standpoint?
Well, I mean, if you have a state system, it's never going to be perfect. So even in the common law, that
it's
was
never going to be perfect. As long as you have humans involved, I suppose perfection's out of the window.
Correct. But what my point is that even if you have a decentralized, like, common law system, like the common law or the ancient Roman law, by the way, so one misconception people have is that they think of the common law as this kind of decentralized kind of free market type system. In reality, you had the Roman law, which was older, which was a decentralized system as well, and then you had the common law come about later, which is a second decentralized system.
All right, Stefan, hang on. Let's continue this discussion. I want to talk more about what is common law. I mean, honestly, there's a bunch of people that call in and they blather on about common law, but what does it really even mean? 855-450-FREE. That's our toll-free number. Maybe you get a question for Stefan Kinsella. 855-450-3733. Live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live.
I'm Steve Sitkowski, a former Wall Street insider. I'm holding a book that will show you investing strategies which could help you earn the kind of money you've always dreamed about. And right now, I'm giving this book away for free. So who needs to read it? If you're in the middle of your career and worry you'll never have enough money to retire, you need to read this book. If you're already retired and your income isn't enough, you need to read this book. And if you don't want to be selling burgers at 80, you need to read this free book. It includes the strategy I use to make a 72% profit on a trade where the stock only moved 12%. You'll need at least $1 million to ever fully retire. If you're behind on that goal, you really need to read Trade Like the Pros. And you can for free by calling 1-800-944-5836. Skeptical that it will deliver results? It's a free book, so what do you have to lose? Find out how at 1-800-944-5836. 1-800-944-5836.
Thousands of people seeking home security get ripped off every day, and the home security industry wants you to believe that's your only option. They've got hordes of salesmen out there trying to scare you into signing one of their long-term contracts. You get stuck writing huge checks month after month with no way out. It's robbery by contract, and it can cost you thousands. But there's a better way to protect your home. SimpliSafe Home Security. SimpliSafe has no contracts. None. You'll get award-winning 24/7 protection. Security professionals watching over your home, ready to instantly send police to the rescue for just $14.99 per month. That's less than half what most companies charge. Protect your home the smart way. Visit SimpliSafeDefense.com today for an exclusive 10% offer and get a free keychain remote worth $25. Only when you go to SimpliSafeDefense.com. SimpliSafeDefense.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Everyone says or does something silly once in a while, but once that embarrassing thing is on the internet, it can spread like a terrible rash. Put it to rest. Get a free expert analysis today from Reputation.com. It only takes 30 seconds. 800-831-0771. We protect your online image by helping to make sure that when people search for you or your business, they find the most current, accurate information possible. Reputation.com. Because word travels fast. Call for a free analysis today. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Yeah!
Sunday edition continuing now. We've got Stephen Kinsella with us, attorney. He's into a lot of the intellectual property arguments. Normally, that's what we've talked about with him in the past. He is against intellectual property. And his blog, StephenKinsella.com, I believe. Do I have that right, Stephen?
That is right.
That's S-T-E-P-H-A-N, Stephen Kinsella, K-I-N-S-E-L-L-A. We'll put a link on our Facebook and Twitter for you as well, so listeners can check that out. We'll continue talking with Stephen about what is law here in a moment.
Yeah, but what I found for my family is I found a way to handle this Obamacare law in a way that is beneficial to me. So what it is it's Liberty Health Share, and it's a health sharing organization as opposed to an insurance company. And, you know, insurance companies, obviously, they take in money and they, pay out to people who need it. But the health sharing organization, they do that. They allow you to work with families individually. It cuts out all the overhead. And for my family, it was about half price. So I would encourage you to go to libertyhealthshare.org. Now, obviously, if your company's paying for all your health insurance, I guess you got nothing to worry about. You know, hit your copays or whatever. But if you've got to do your own health insurance, check them out. libertyhealthshare.org. And the number is 855-58-LIBERTY. 855-58-LIBERTY, libertyhealthshare.org.
All right, so back to Stephen Kinsella from stephenkinsella.com. Stephen, you were talking about law and what it really is. Mark used the term law when he mentioned Obamacare, but that's not a law, right?
A statute, right?
That's a U.S. code, isn't that what they call it?
Well, that's right. That's part of the United States Code, so it is a type of statute, and basically all of federal law is statutory law. There's something called federal common law, but it's not really federal common law. So even the Constitution, people think of as being this majestic document, is really just legislation. It's a little bit more elegant, a little bit more general than most particular legislation, but even the Constitution is a legislated document, right? Something decreed by some body which has some kind of authority.
Mm-hmm.
In the states and the state courts, which are more similar to the English courts, the judges had this body of common law, which developed over time in England primarily and Rome before that, which was the result of judges deciding cases, and then their decisions were considered precedential, right? So that is, this is called stare decisis, which means one court that comes after is supposed to follow the result before unless there's a really good reason not to. So in this way, law develops incrementally over time as judges and courts try to find just solutions to problems that real people have.
And you're saying that would be what common law is?
That's what common law is. But okay, what's happened over in the last 100 or plus years is that legislation has become more and more the dominant source of what's called law. That's the results, the rules that the courts will give effect to and that the executive branch of the government enforces. So at this point in time, you could look at common law unless a statute has overridden it, right? And that's more and more of the place, more and more the case. Statutes govern almost every area of law now. So statute law has become the dominant source of law, and that's how people think of law now.
How does one – okay, so I see what you're saying. So without the statutory law, then there would be common law. How would one determine what common law is? Doesn't seem that common to me, I guess.
So what happens is, especially in appellate courses, that's an appeals court cases where the judges are really looking at what the law should be, where there's a legal dispute, not just the question about the facts, like who committed this act. The judges usually announce their opinions in a written decision, and over time, those are collected in what's called cases, and people can read them. And then legal commentators like Blackstone or other specialists in the law, they will codify them. They will write private treatises. This is done in America now, even today, with the American Law Institute. It's called the Restatements of Law. Of course, the Restatements of Law nowadays summarize not only the common law that's developed, but also the statutory law that's encrusted and grown up around it. But
sounds
in a free
like a
market,
mess.
It is a huge mess, which is one reason attorneys, there are so many attorneys, and they get paid a lot, and it's hyper-specialized, and it's harder for the common person to know what the law is. Even
no
the
doubt.
Government doesn't really know what the law
yeah,
is.
Yeah, most of the enforcers themselves don't even know what the law is. There have been multiple times, or what their statutes say, they usually have to look up stuff before they can even bring a criminal charge. They'll arrest somebody and then figure out later what they're arresting them for.
There are so many laws, they can choose which ones they want to use to go after whoever their current victim
right.
is.
And I know Mark has a question, but I was curious, since we're talking about these different types of law, people call this show, these legal theorists call the show all the time, I guess not all the time, but often enough over the years, and they bring up this thing about maritime law, that there's right. this gold fringe on the flag.
Admiralty law, too.
Admiralty? What's the difference? Yeah. Is there a difference? Admiralty law, maritime law, whatever, they say this is like the law of the high seas, but yet it's in our courts. Is that a total conspiracy theory? What's your thought on that?
I think it is a total conspiracy theory. These are the common law court types, and they use the term common law as well. Mm-hmm. They think there's some significance to whether your name's in all capitals. But these people have also succumbed to the fallacious view of law because they think of law as what's been written down and decreed by the legislature, which is why you'll hear like an income tax protester. Now, I'm an income tax protester because I think the law is immoral and illegitimate, but I wouldn't deny that you will go to jail if you don't pay your income taxes. So it is a law right now. It's just an immoral law or a bad law. But you will hear these income tax protesters, if you say it is actually illegal to evade income tax, they will say, show me the law. You hear this all the time. Now that's a legislative mentality. They want you to show them in what they call the law books. They want to see it written down in black and white. Basically, they want you to show them a decree from the legislature which shows them what the law is. So even they are thinking of law as what comes from the legislature.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. What they really mean is show me the statutes that somehow obligate them to pay, right?
I think so. But the problem with that is, you know, the statutes are so vague. Not in income tax, actually, they're not that vague. But in general, the statutes are so myriad and complex and vague that all we can really know is what Oliver Wendell Holmes, the famous Supreme Court justice, said. He had what he called the bad man theory of law. And he said, if you want to know what the law is, you have to think like a bad man. And he would only try to predict what a court would do if he went before a court. And that is really where the rubber hits the road, right? What are courts going to do? So what the Constitution means is what the court says, because that's really all it comes down to in today's system. It's basically naked force of the state against people. So whatever the rules are that the courts and the executive actually enforce is what you could say the law is.
I like what Mark Stevens' definition, a law is an opinion backed by a gun.
Yes, that's exactly right. I agree with that.
So, Mark, you had a question for Stephen.
Yeah, this one, this is sort of the second part of the email that you wrote me, and I think that I think there might be a point of contention here, so let's go for it. There's sort of we were talking about how we would if in the case of a multimillionaire that perhaps
Bill Gates
broke the law, right? And poor Bill Gates, he always gets used to these examples. So we have a murderous Bill Gates out there, and perhaps he goes out deciding to kill people because in our new system of restitution, all he has to do is restitute. Say he's killing homeless people. The restitution on them is real low or whatever, and so he's like, yes, I get to kill lots of people because they're cheap. They're only $30,000
right.
a piece.
Right,
and
right.
You had some kind of way that you thought that might be dealt with.
And you can tell us that in a moment. Stand by. Stephen Kinsella is with us via Skype. Sounding good, by the way. You can join us via Skype as well. Skype username is lrn.fm. But if you've got a question for Stephen, call toll-free at 855-453.
No way. Is that a real bullet necklace?
No, it's a 9mm bullet necklace with matching earrings, you'll notice.
Those are awesome. Where'd you get them?
Dave found them at patriotnecklace.com.
Wow.
They have a variety of calibers and necklaces and earrings and keychains.
Patriotnecklace.com?
Patriotnecklace.com.
Your choice of caliber bullet includes a rugged American-made stainless steel dog tag chain. A percentage of every sale goes to military and service-related charities. And get a discount by entering GCN at checkout. Show your patriotism and support our troops with a bullet necklace from patriotnecklace.com.
Okay, open your mouth and say, ah.
Ah.
When your child has a sore throat, you need to know when to get help. The doctor-recommended Say-Ah Sore Throat Exam is your solution. The scientifically designed oral retractor offers a clear view of the throat, relaxing the tongue, and minimizing gag reflex. Compare with a medical-grade chart, website, and app. Then you'll know just what to tell your doctor. A wellness plan in your hands in minutes. Go to SayAhNow.com. SayAhNow.com, the new mainstay for every family's first aid kit.
gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lung. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code Silver2015 for 30% off of your entire order and give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
By now, you know the smart way to buy emergency food storage is calories per dollar. Ready Supply Foods sells you 50% more food for your money. GMO-free, 25-year shelf life, great tasting, and free shipping. You need 2,000 calories per day under ideal conditions. Most 30-day kits don't have enough calories to sustain you for more than a week. They just don't have enough nutrition to do the job. See the comparisons for yourself at ReadySupplyFoods.com. We are the new leader in value and quality. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. It is the live Sunday edition. Of course, you're welcome to join us here on the radio waves at 855-450-FREE, especially if you've got a question for Stephen Kinsella. He is with us here from StephenKinsella.com. He's an attorney, and as you might imagine, has some opinions about the law. So we're going to continue with that. Also, if you want to, later you can call us on Skype. It's Skype username lrn.fm. How would you like to save 20, 25%, maybe even more, on whatever you want to buy on Amazon? Because you can do that. The trick is you got to get Bitcoin, and then, or first, whether you get the Bitcoin first or not, you can go to saveatpurse.com. Now, if you've got Bitcoin, then you can load it up at saveatpurse.com and instantly start going out to Amazon and ordering the stuff that you want. And there's actually a Purse Instant that allows you to get stuff without having to wait. But if you want the big discounts, the 20%, 25%, possibly more, I got 29% off these headphones I'm wearing. If you want the big discounts, you do have to wait for a little bit. You put your order in, and then somebody will fill it for you. You can watch the video. It's super easy to do. It's like 2 minutes. Video is very short, 2 or 3 minutes or something. Saveatpurse.com. Just go there and get started. When you sign up through our link, saveatpurse.com, Free Talk Live will get a very small portion of each of your future purchases through saveatpurse.com.
Speaking of Bitcoin, and as an endorsement for Stephen Kinsella, I've actually paid him Bitcoin for services, and I think he's the only, probably the only lawyer I've paid in a decade.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's cool. Stefan, you're back on Free Talk Live. You were, I think, gearing towards a point about restitution when we went away.
Yeah, let me see if I can summarize kind of quickly. What you guys had talked about on the previous show was the so-called millionaire problem, right? Like if we have, I mean, you were talking about the problems with the punishment-based system, although Mark was talking about, you know, maybe people would be in prison working off their debts, that kind of thing. I think there are serious problems with that. Randy Barnett has written about that. The costs of a punitive system are very high. I do think in some special cases you have to lock people up or banish them somehow because they're just standing threats to the community. But by and large, I think a restitution-based system is what would tend to evolve, both because it tends to rehabilitate people, gives them a way back in, it's cheaper to administer, all those kinds of things. That said, I think that libertarians have an intuitive sense, like most people do, that basically punishment or some kind of retaliation or retribution is sometimes justified. So the way I would put this is that restitution is not really the primary right that victims have. Retribution actually is the primary right. And I've written on this before in my rights theory, my punishment theory.
Why is that?
Basically, well, because the victim basically has the right to do back to the aggressor what they've done to them. And I have a theory I call estoppel, which is an old common law concept, estoppel, which means you can prevent someone or stop them from saying something in a court or an official proceeding if it contradicts what they said before. And my libertarian sort of take on that or insight is that if you've committed aggression against someone, you really have no grounds to complain if something similar is done back to you, which is basically the idea between eye for an eye or the lex talionis, right, the right of retribution. So in my view, the whole basis of libertarian rights is based upon the right of the victim to have retribution or to retaliate against his aggressor.
There was a recent case out of Iran where a woman had acid thrown in her face and was blinded by a suitor, a sperm suitor, and she, instead of doing a whole variety of things, including prison and restitution and all these sorts of things, she demanded that the court put acid in dude's eyes. And so
what did the court do?
Yeah, they put acid in his eyes. From what I understand, I'd have to go check, the news story. But as I was hearing it, basically she wasn't going back on her word.
Now, Stefan, aren't you hearkening back to barbarism here? I mean, don't we want to move ahead, even though what you're saying is probably true, that, you know, eye for an eye seems very justified in a lot of cases, and I can understand why people would want to get retribution. It feels like some sort of catharsis, I guess. I feel like ultimately it would be very, very unsatisfying.
I'd rather have a check.
And there's that, yeah. And yeah. So, I mean, why are you going to bat for that, I guess?
Well, so, what I'm actually agreeing with you. I think that in practice, especially in a free market system, that this actual administration of punishment would be too costly and it would be too counterproductive to be really systematically enforced or institutionalized. I think a restitution system would be what would be put in place. But my point is that
theoretically, seems like the more humane system to me. I mean,
it would be. Yeah,
and he's saying it's the more likely
the whole
to
world blind and all.
He's saying it's the more likely to.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but my point is that getting back to the millionaire problem, that if the primary right of the victim is to basically punish their aggressor, what they would tend to do is use that right and they would negotiate with the aggressor for some kind of restitution payment. And if you had a millionaire like Bill Gates, who was some kind of sadist and he thought he could go around and just commit murder and just pay the victim's families off, that wouldn't happen because there wouldn't be like a fixed award set by a legislature, like a schedule of fees, right? It wouldn't say a life is worth $3 million and that's all.
Yeah, that sounds really cold. Yeah.
So rather what would happen is you would negotiate. And so if a billionaire commits murder, then the victim's family could negotiate with him. They say, listen, we have the theoretical right to subject you to torture and put you in prison for life or to execute you. And because he's a billionaire, he might be willing to pay $500 million or maybe $10 billion to get his way out of it. So there wouldn't be a fixed penalty for crimes. It would depend upon the circumstances. And so the millionaire problem that you alluded to would basically disappear.
Because you're talking about the eye for the eye basis of this, I have no dispute with it. I do. There's some Scandinavian country that charges people speeding tickets based on how much they're worth. And sometime, like a decade ago, some dude got like a $100,000, $10,000 speeding ticket. I don't know what the number was, but it was a large speeding ticket basically because it was worth a great deal. And from a legislative standpoint, sort of going after somebody on a sliding scale punishment, that bothers me. But when it comes to, you know, the right of the victim to essentially enact upon the aggressor what they'd have done to them, then I can see why that would be an issue. So if Bill Gates, for instance, stole $100 out of the, you know, the wallet, my wallet just sitting around a table from me, he'd be liable for $100 and perhaps a punitive amount. But that punitive amount wouldn't be that big of a deal because it's, you know, it's just still a punitive amount. However, if he did something to harm me bodily, I essentially am able to go into negotiations with him and say, look, $100,000 is not enough for a broken leg, dude. And poor Bill Gates, he does not deserve this kind of these analogies. But so in your case, you owe me significantly more than $100,000. I'm going to need to see $10 million, Bill. Get out your checkbook.
Exactly.
So I get it from that standpoint.
It wouldn't be a decree by the legislature, a sliding scale set by the legislature. This would be the result of private negotiations based upon the victim's objective right to retaliate in like fashion to what the aggressor has done to them. And it just seems hard to me to say that inflicting retaliatory force upon an aggressor like he's done to the victim really violates his rights. Now, I do agree it's barbaric and that probably we wouldn't see that put into practice on a widespread basis. But even if you didn't have it in practice, you could tell the jury. So right now the juries have no standards whatsoever. You tell the jury you tell us how much the damages should be for what was done to this victim. And they just make up a number, $10 million, $1 million. At least you could tell the jury. You should imagine in your head what would have been negotiated if punishment was an option. So at least there's some objective standard the jury could take into account.
Stefan, I really appreciate you coming on to talk about this with us here tonight. Very informative. I like what you have to say. And you do have a blog. It's stefankinsella.com. Looks like you're updating it relatively frequently.
I do, and I also blog on intellectual property stuff on c4sif.org, the number 4sif.org.
C4SIS or F?
F, Center for the Study of Innovative Freedom.
C4, the number 4.
S-I-F. Right.
Got it.
I'd like to say that I often, you know, when I go after Stefan Kinsella's bigger articles for the intention of sort of finding a basis intellectually and philosophically. I think that he often parses out on a very detailed and minute basis issues that it appeals to me for writings. If people have similar desires to look at liberty issues in this way, Stefan's writings are worth taking into consideration.
Stefan, thanks again for coming on Free Talk Live tonight. StefanKinsella.com, his website. You can join us here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Now, it is the live Sunday edition, and that means it's the same as always. Open phones about whatever you want to discuss. Coming up, the puritanical glee over the Ashley Madison hack. Maybe the Koreas are going to war. Troops are on alert. There's a lot that we can talk about, but you can also join us. 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live.
Every once in a while, you get information that's worth changing your life for. This is one such time. You can save up to and beyond 25% on all purchases at Amazon. You've probably heard of Bitcoin and just not thought much about it. You certainly know that you can get competitive pricing at Amazon, but now you can get a 25% discount on nearly everything you need to live. I've just given you a huge raise, and all you have to do is claim it. You go to purse.freetalklive.com and open an account. Do this right now. Don't wait. Then you fund the account with Bitcoin. You can buy them through expresscoin.com with a check or money order. There are other ways to get Bitcoin, but that's fast, safe, and easy. This information is worth you changing the way you do things. Go to purse.freetalklive.com right now and get signed up and cash in on the huge raise I'm offering you. 25% off of everything on Amazon through purse.freetalklive.com. It's purse.freetalklive.com.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
Are you excited about the World Wide Web? Do you want a place where you can share your ideas and express yourself? Well, dial up your modems and stream on down to the GCN Live Community Forum. Lots of radical features await you there.
Wow, Internet guys, I am so glad I went to the GCN Live Community Forum.
You too can discover why the World Wide Web is awesome. Just go to GCNLive.com/forum. That's GCNLive.com/forum. I'll see you in cyberspace. Friend GCN Live on Diaspora and Cross.tv.
Now, a twice-as-nice Twin Kit special offer from Complete H2O Minerals for all GCN listeners. Get a Complete H2O Minerals Twin Kit with 33 different minerals, vitamins, and amino acids all in a liquid form. Enough for two people for 1 month. Regular price, $89.95. But now Complete H2O Minerals is offering the Twin Kit for $69.95. And all GCN listeners receive a bonus 16-ounce bottle of Ionic Silver absolutely free with free shipping. A $120 total value. Hurry, limited time offer. Call 803-794-4767 or click CompleteH2OMinerals.com.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Zdanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential, reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z. 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
This is Free Talk Live. Ladies and gentlemen, around the United States and around the globe today took off their tops at various different locations, including Times Square, where over 300 or around 300 bare-chest demonstrators were parading. We'll talk more about Free the Nipple, that campaign, here in a few moments. And if you are there and you want to enlighten us as to what it was like, feel free to call us up. Toll-free number.
I imagine it was like being around a bunch of people without shirts on.
Yep, 855-450-FREE. Well, I hope that's all it was.
I wonder what the nudists think about this stuff. You know, like, they're wandering around with no clothes on at all, and it's just kind of like, is it like watching a kid on training wheels? You know, so proud of themselves?
Well, nudists generally aren't walking around in public with no clothes on. They have nudist parks and beaches for that purpose, Mark.
Sure.
But I would suspect...
I'm aware of how nudism works.
I would suspect nudists would be very supportive of this. So if you want to join us, here our toll-free number is 855-453. Let's go to Sarah, listening in Virginia. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. Go ahead with your thoughts.
I just wanted to see what you thought about a situation that happened today. I tried to send money to a friend's mom in need, and the company, I don't know if I'm allowed to say, but the company pretty much made me wait for 4 hours, saying their
You can say what their name is. We'll just say allegedly in front of the company. So what was the alleged
MoneyGram.
Company?
MoneyGram.
MoneyGram.
They said,
okay,
I could send money within minutes. And so I proceeded with the application, and yet it kept saying that it was processing. So
yep.
I called.
Was this just? I'm sorry to interrupt. I am familiar with both of these organizations, the main two players, MoneyGram and Western Union, so I know what this process can be like. Was this your first time ever going through a MoneyGram send?
No, it was not. I sent some money to a couple of my in-laws right before Christmas.
And how did that go?
Was it... Well, it took more than a few minutes.
Oh, yeah.
So I was prepared for that.
Yep.
But, you know, I called them to find out what was going on after an hour. And they said, oh, you know, 15 more minutes and you're up for approval. Okay, so I waited another hour. And overall, I spent over two hours, literally, on hold, waiting for someone to talk to me over several different calls. And they kept saying, you're up in line, next, a few more minutes. So at the end of 4 hours, they send me an email and say they need additional information.
Mm-hmm.
So I call them and wait on hold another half an hour. And now they want to know, why am I sending this person money?
Oh, boy.
Why?
Now, what was the amount, may I ask?
$500.
Okay.
And for me, then this is why I'm calling you. It's not just a complaint, but my concern is, isn't that a violation of privacy to ask me why I'm sending someone money?
Okay, so, well, yes. I mean, it's obviously a violation of your privacy. There's no doubt about that. Can they do that? Yes, they can legally absolutely do that. And, in fact, they probably have to do it legally. There's probably some kind of law that they're following, some sort of know-your-customer legislation that is mandating all monies, what they call so-called money transmitters. Now, this is a legal term, but, you know, it's basically somebody who takes someone else's money and then sends it elsewhere to a third party. And so these money transmitters are dealing with all manner of different government regulations that are incredibly intrusive and invasive to your privacy. And so odds are good they're doing this simply because they have to in order to obey some kind of government diktat, which would mean, of course, that you have no leg to stand on legally as far as, you know, any kind of threat of a lawsuit or anything like that. This is just how they do business. And it's interesting, too, because usually it's the first time with MoneyGram and Western Union where it's a huge hassle to set up the account and go through all of the, you know, requirements as far as identification and secret questions, and then they, you know, it takes longer than you expect it to. Of course, whenever a company says, it takes just minutes, well, you could have several thousand minutes that you could be waiting
for. It took them minutes.
Yeah.
Right. Well, they did say minutes, not hours, so,
right.
You know. But I just felt like, and I told them, I said, the reason why this person needs the money is none of your concern. It really felt like a violation.
Uh-oh. That probably set off some red flags right there. So did it ever transfer through? Did it ever happen?
Oh, no. No, they refused.
Right.
I said, my reason is that she needs money, and I'm helping her. Well, then they asked, are you going to be sending her more money in the future? I said, well, I doubt it, but definitely not today. You know, and the reason is she's getting evicted. It's a friend's mother.
Oh,
you know,
man.
She's been through a lot. She lost her husband recently.
Yep. Usually when somebody needs money, Graham, it's because it's urgent.
Yeah, there's a big deal going on generally.
Right. Somebody needs money because something's happening that needs to be dealt with immediately, and so people are willing to pay incredible fees, and they're willing to jump through these ridiculous hoops, holding for hours at a time, just so they can send these Federal Reserve notes, these U.S. dollars from one point to another through this old money system. And, Sarah, are you a new listener to Free Talk Live?
No, I am not. I listen to you. Actually, we only get your show on Saturday nights right now.
Ah, okay.
There's another
You're calling in Norfolk.
Yes.
So, well, thank you, by the way.
I wanted you guys with the violation of privacy. I was like,
well,
you know,
there's another reason there's another reason that you need to consider here, or something to consider, and that is that you don't want to put your money in the hands of these old companies anymore. These guys, they are so bad at customer service. They're so expensive. What was the fee, if I might ask? You sent $500. What was the fee to actually send that $500?
Even though you didn't get the
Well, right, even though it didn't happen. Do you know? Do you
remember
what it was?
Well, sending it from my bank account was only $11.50.
Okay.
But going through another company would have been $45.
So, you know, it can be done for a relatively affordable amount if you're willing to jump through the hoops and cross your fingers and hope that they actually, you know, approve the transfer. And then, by the way, there's also issues with the person picking it up. So, I mean, driver's license, well, they can't go and pick that money up. So it's just going to sit there. And there's all kinds of ridiculous requirements on them, too.
What you're getting to, Ian, is Bitcoin.
Yes,
so
that's right.
If, for whatever reason, you were able to, you know, you had some Bitcoin and you could send it to this friend, and this friend could pay their rent in Bitcoin, then it would have cost you minutes and literally taken you, I mean, tens of seconds.
It's not minutes. You can send Bitcoin.
I meant to say pennies, and literally, it would have cost you pennies to send, and it would have, by pennies, I mean 2 cents, 3 cents,
wow.
to send it, and it would have taken you tens of seconds to go log into your Bitcoin wallet, log into the account, and send the.
The longest portion would be the logging in. The
yeah.
actual sending of the money with Bitcoin is literally an instant. I mean, it's confirmed. It's seen on the other end within a flash of a moment.
Yeah, I always double check though because.
I'm sorry. I have heard you speak of Bitcoin, but I still don't have a full grasp of what it means. It just sounds like some, you know, bizarre out there concept that I just,
yeah.
I mean, I'm studying for my master's degree. I mean, I'm not, you know,
right.
I'm smart, but I still just don't, fully grasp it.
There's definitely a learning curve with Bitcoin, and it is a new idea. It is a decentralized money. It is money that is essentially internet money. It was issued by someone anonymous. We don't even know who Satoshi Nakamoto is, and it wasn't created by banks. It wasn't created by governments, and basically Bitcoin is good for a lot of things, and one of those things it's very good for is transferring money instantaneously around the world to anybody without having to ask permission first. So there's no application process. When you go and you open a Bitcoin wallet, it's as simple as downloading. If you have a smartphone, you download an app for your smartphone, open the app, and you've got a wallet. So there's no, you know, fee, there's no applying, there's no government bureaucrat that has to approve, there's no, you know, requirements for just jumping through ridiculous arbitrary hoops. So I highly recommend you look closer into it.
So is it safe? Is my bank account, all my information, is it?
I would say it is safer than your bank account, but it's your responsibility to protect yourself with Bitcoin. You are the holder of your own bank account, unless you want to give another company the ability to hold your account for you. There are companies that will do that, like blockchain.info. But by the default setting, you are your own bank, essentially, with Bitcoin. So you'd want to protect your Bitcoin wallet just like you would protect your real wallet in real life. And
it works. One more question about that.
Yeah,
is there a way, like, could it potentially be profitable to, you know, like the transfer of funds with Bitcoin versus dollars?
Well, when you say profitable, you mean someone making money transferring Bitcoin? I'm not sure what you're getting at.
Well, yeah, like, you know, exchange rate. Like, sometimes you can make money off of exchange rates with other countries. And so I wonder if sometimes.
Yes,
you know,
there are people who play what they call arbitrage, where they buy Bitcoin at one exchange and then they'll sell the Bitcoin at another exchange to make money. There are people that do that stuff.
And they play the market, you know, watch it go up, watch it go down.
And we'll tell you how to get some Bitcoin here in a little bit. Sarah, check out Bitcoin.com if you want to learn more about it. That's a really great website. Hour 2 is coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
You know what rubs millions of people the wrong way? Their thighs.
Shaq Talk's Gold Bond Friction Defense.
Skin friction is quite an affliction on your legs, arms, whether you're running a 5K or just running upstairs.
And Gold Bond Friction Defense is
soothing.
Indeed. It's non-greasy, moisturizes, and helps like nobody's business.
Because your thighs rubbing together is nobody's business.
Gold Bond Friction Defense. Defense starts now.
Your thighs will thank you.
Oh boy.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Shop.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, get a great deal, and a portion of your purchase goes to benefit Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon via shop.freetalklive.com.
That's the sound your brain makes when you realize you're buying something and forgot the coupon. Online or in a store, knowing that you're missing a deal is the worst.
You need the app from RetailMeNot right now. Get thousands of coupons from 50,000 stores like Kohl's, Domino's, Best Buy, and more with crazy deals like 60% off, free shipping, and free gifts with purchase. You can get a text invite to download the RetailMeNot app 100% free right now for Apple or Android. Just text the code UPDATE to 42767. Then just show your phone at checkout to save. It literally couldn't be easier. It's 2015. Keep your coupons in your phone. Stop what you're doing and text UPDATE to 42767. Listeners will get a text with a link to download it 100% free. Never forget another coupon again. Text the code UPDATE to 42767 right now. That's UPDATE to 42767. Message and data rates may apply. For terms and privacy, visit retail.